Blog Talk Radio.
I ain't know what to say, but I'll just say this. I'ma speak about how you make me feel.
Struggling with aggression, not aggressive enough. Been that way since I was young. Now it's time to change up. I was taught to go hard in the paint. Life had to teach me something. When I see you, I get worked up or something. Pull up smooth while I'm in the caddy. I'm so high that I feel crabby. Me and my shooter got the same granddaddy. I got money and cartoon. When I think about you, what the hell is the deal?
Know you better. See you kinda busy, so I guess I send a letter. If the letter don't work, then I guess I'll approach it. If you can't socialize, I guess I coach you. Cause gymming is far from the average knucklehead. I don't wanna spend most of my time in bed. But in case I have to get hard, I get hard like lead. And the proof is in the pudding, that's what my mom said.
Baby, I stayed away too long.
And as you did, I just wanna be. Girl, I just wanna be.
G-Man ain't no great thing.
I just wanna be.
No matter what state, I put you in good hands just like all state. I'm winding down, we eating our fine plate. I treat you like a superstar, line with no weight. You like good time, let's just push rewind. Sipping good wine, my game not denied. We live in the sky, the haters live on the ground. No sex rules up in the clouds, ow.
Baby, I stayed away too long.
And as you did,
crib, yeah, get nasty. I'm a cowboy, you a big girl. Take a round trip, just a rocky world. Like shake, wobble, wobble, shake, shake, boy, your mama.
Hello, you're listening to Show Talk with Angela Butler. Today to interview Mr. John Eve. Mr. Eve?
Yes. Hey, Angela, happy to be here with you today.
I'm sorry about that. Mr. John Eve. Mr. Eve is well known in Atlanta, Georgia. He ran for mayor. He's also ran for representative there within Atlanta, Georgia, Fulton County. He's well known, and he also has a TV show, which I believe hasn't been too long started up. Am I correct, Mr. Eve?
Right. We started up... We did the pilot back in February, and we're starting up officially this month here in April.
All right. Okay. You were former chairman of Fulton County Board of Commissioners at Fulton County Government.
Right.
Yes, sir. You have a master's degree from Yale University.
Yes.
Yes, that's very impressive. Very impressive. Your Tell us about your television show, sir.
Well, very excited. So you mentioned a little bit about my background. I'm a Morehouse graduate, but also I got a degree in religion, so I have a theological background, as well as you described, a pretty extensive political track record and involvement in Fulton County, Atlanta, Georgia. And so the marriage of those experiences are leading to led to what I'm doing now. And so I have a TV show with the Atlanta Interfaith Broadcasting Network. It's a 50-year-old station, a local non-cable station. And I talk about community issues, but the common denominator is not only community issues, but we also explore issues of faith and hope, particularly among our political leaders and community leaders. So it's a unique program, and very happy that we had some good guests so far, and we're going to be rolling out some really interesting shows over the next several weeks and months.
Yes, sir. All right. Are you still a member of the Jewish Democratic National Party?
Well, it's the Democratic National, Party. I am Jewish, but it's a Democratic National Party that I'm a part of.
Yes, I read an article on you, and they were praising your name. They were praising your name,
yes,
saying you did great.
Yeah, right.
And they mentioned that you were Jewish. So.
Right.
I think it's wonderful the work you have did for Fulton County. Fulton County, Georgia. I do not live in Fulton County, Georgia, but I've heard a great deal about you from Pamela Baker, Dr. Baker, and she speaks highly of you and your family.
Okay, great. Well, it's good to get to hear someone say something positive.
Yes, sir. So on your show, each episode, Dr. Evans, you invite guests and viewers to explore issues from a variety of perspectives. Views that also reflect the complexity of our culture, one's own individual life experiences. Is Atlanta
right.
Speaks, am I correct?
Yeah, so we're going to be dealing with a lot of things, including, voting, the pandemic, COVID-19 pandemic, gun safety and gun control, food security, equity and education, criminal justice reform, the legacy of black colleges. So those are some of the shows that we have been taping so far. We're going to be rolling them out. And so particularly in Atlanta, but also around the country, those topics are very important. And so I'm just excited about the type of guests that have come on and willing to share and educate, as well as talk about faith. There's a lot of somberness that we've experienced over the past year with the pandemic and challenges that we've encountered with the economic downturn. But, so through it all, you have to have a degree of faith and hope. And so we explore those themes and more in the show.
In Arizona, AIBTV.
Yes, Atlanta Interfaith Broadcasters Network, and you can Google it, and you can go to the website, and they have the episodes on YouTube channel, on the YouTube channel, or if you live in Atlanta, you can see the show on Comcast cable TV, channel 295.
Wonderful. So, COVID-19, the pandemic, what are your views on it, and what do you feel more can be done for concerning your opinion?
Get the vaccine. I mean, to me, the vaccine, whether it's Pfizer, Moderna, or Johnson & Johnson, just get the vaccine, because the what they call the efficacy rate, meaning how effective the vaccine is, particularly for Pfizer and Moderna, is over 90%. So in other words, for every 100 people that get the virus, 100 people, at least 90, 95 of them will not get the virus. So a high percentage of people are prevented from getting the virus if you take the vaccine. And unfortunately, the African-American community has not been taking the vaccine at the level of our population in the larger society. In other words, if you're 30% of the population in Georgia, you should at least be 30% of those getting the vaccines, and that's not the case. So we're underrepresented, underperforming. So I encourage everyone to get the vaccine, number one. Number two, you know, the COVID-19 has impacted businesses, small business owners. If you are a small business owner, Angela, apply for a PPP loan, Paycheck Protection Program loan. And in fact, that's one of the topics we dealt with in my show is this money out there that business owners can get support for them, given that they've taken a hit during the pandemic. And again, a disproportionate number of Black small businesses have not applied. And so I think the two main things I want to convey to your audience is, number one, get the vaccine. Number two, if you're a small business owner, apply for a PPP, that's a Paycheck Protection Program loan through the Small Business Administration. And you can also obviously get it done, apply through your bank.
Yes, but you have to have income.
No,
that's
well,
why I personally
well, you
not
have
not applied.
No, you have no, no, right? No, let me be as clear as I can. You have to be an official business, and you have to show that you have had a reduction of income, a reduction of revenue, because of the pandemic. And so, you can apply for this loan, and there's a paperwork you have to complete. Figures you have to list in terms of monies that you revenue that you've collected or not collected, the difference between a certain period of time, and so just go ahead and apply. I have a barber who I go to every 2 or 3 weeks, and she's a business owner. And I told her, I said, listen, you need to apply. And so whether you're a beautician, a barbershop owner, on a lawnmower service, flower shop, restaurant, whatever. If you're a small business owner, you can apply for this PPP loan.
All right. Okay. Thank you for that. People will appreciate what you are saying. So with the pandemic, have you lost any family members, Mr. Eves?
I have.
I'm not being too personal.
No, you're not being too personal. I think I want people to know that this pandemic has affected almost everybody, directly or indirectly. So I have a second cousin. Name is Tracy. We grew up together in Jacksonville, Florida. She's a few years younger than me, so she's like my little cousin. She died back in September, and she did have an underlying health condition. That doesn't mean that's why she died, but she did have an underlying health condition, but she died because of COVID. She caught it, and it impacted her respiratory system, her ability to breathe, and my little cousin died. So I've had friends who've died. So it's a virus that has impacted everybody. Everyone knows somebody or has somebody that they know directly or come across with indirectly. So it's been a devastating virus that's impacted this country.
All right. It's devastated the country. A lot of small businesses have closed, have went out of business.
Yeah, they certainly have.
And that's unfortunate. Very unfortunate, because most Black business owners have just one employee, most of them. Not all of them, but the majority of them do.
Right. Right.
Yes, sir. So with the pandemic going on, I personally get my last vaccination tomorrow.
Okay, good.
People told me not to, though, but I'm going to. Said they were shocked that I was getting the vaccination with what they know about me from my radio shows. But I'm getting it because so many people have died from it. So many people have died. And, you know, people try to argue and say, no, that's not what they died from. They died from the pre-existing condition. Well, I've seen news stories where people have died that didn't have pre-existing conditions. So, I mean, this thing is serious.
It is serious.
It's serious.
I'm glad you're taking it. I'm glad you're taking it. You're a role model. People listen to you. And so hopefully as you take it and you share your experience and you tell people that it didn't bother you, they'd be encouraged to get it as well.
I had a sore arm for about 3 weeks. On my shoulder and in my hand and arm. But it's went away. It's not nearly as bad. I kept massaging it and putting muscle cream on it. And it, and it's fine. It's fine.
Yeah.
So are you going to run for any, are you going to politic for any public offices in the near future?
I want to go back into politics. I don't know when, but I do want to go back into politics. People stop me almost every day and ask me to consider going back into politics. As you pointed out, I do have a good track record, and I did some good things when I was in office, and people want good people in office to represent them, and people are going to get things done. And so I feel proud about my track record. I feel good about what I've done. So I'm planning to go back into the running for office again, but I'm not sure exactly when.
Oh, okay. That would be wonderful. That would be wonderful. I know there are people in Atlanta who will be very glad. I'm not in Atlanta, Georgia, like I said earlier. I'm in Florida, Northwest Florida, and I'm on Central Time. I'm close to Dothan, Alabama, but I've heard so many things about you from about 10, 15 different people.
Okay.
Dr. Baker is the main one that sings you praises.
Well, thank you. You might be near my mother's hometown. Blountstown, Florida is near Marianna. And
yes, I'm about 20 minutes from Marianna.
Yeah. So I think that's Gaston County. So a county next to, not too far from Gaston County, is Calhoun County. And that's where my mother... Well, she was born in that county. I used to go visit that part of Florida several times a year.
Yes, I'm in Washington County, Florida.
Okay.
I'm about 15, 20 minutes from Marianna, Florida, depending on if you take the interstate, 77 or Highway 90.
I-10 and Highway 90. Yeah, it goes to Jacksonville. Jacksonville's my
Highway
home.
90. Yes. Okay. So did you go to school in Jackson County? Were you educated there?
No, I didn't. I grew up in Jacksonville, you know, the northeast part of Florida. But I visited Calhoun. I mean, visited my grandmother who lived in Calhoun County. And then Jackson County, as you pointed out, is a small town called Sneeds. My grandmother was born in Sneeds, S-N-E-E-D-S. And to this day, my people have some farmland over there. So I certainly know that part of Florida.
I know where Sneeds is. I've been there many times. Yes, sir. I know where Quincy, Florida is, Tallahassee, Florida, Blountstown, Marianna, Calhoun County. I know where the Finiac Springs is. I know where Fort Walton Beach, Destin, Florida, Panama City Beach. Panama City. I have doctors in Panama City.
Yeah.
So Do you have a visit now?
In the present time? Angela, I have not. Yeah, so my grandmother passed away in 2005, so I haven't. I've been back to that area twice, maybe three times since then. But when she passed away, and then I had an aunt who lived in Blount Sound. She passed away around 2010. I just haven't gone back because I don't really have any family who lives in Bluntstown anymore. But I do have family who live in Tallahassee, so I visited them about 3 years ago.
Oh, okay. All right. So if you were going to run for office, you said you possibly in the future want to get back into politics. What office would you run for? Are you not at liberty to say?
Yeah, you know, that's a good question. I mean, politics is about timing, you know. Just, you know, when you decide to do something, the timing has to be right. And so I'm just really trying to evaluate when's the best time for me to do it, run for office. But I'm going to let you know when I run. Announce.
Okay. All right. Okay, that'll be good, Mr. Eves. So with the pandemic, what have you seen there in Fulton County or in Georgia, period? What have you seen? What has had the biggest impact on you? I know the death of your cousin was sorrowing, and you're probably going through some grief, and I'm sorry about that. But what has impacted your area the most?
Yeah, so
is it the deaths? Is the business loss?
Yeah.
Is it being kept inside?
So you have, it's a good question. Obviously, people who have died or have suffered physically because of COVID, that's the top issue related. You know, so people who died or have been impacted by the illness or the virus. Then it's been the economic aspect, the businesses that have been closed, the businesses that have been hampered, you know, that's so the economic piece. But I think the third thing that's been noticeable is some people have gotten depressed, you know, so the people's mental well-being, you know, as a result of not being able to interact. We're humans, we're social human beings. We know how to, we enjoy hugging and shaking hands and greeting and laughing with people. And I think that's been hard, especially for seniors. Seniors who are widowed, maybe living at home by themselves. I think that's been probably the least discussed is how the pandemic has impacted people's mental well-being. So the deaths and the suffering, the physical suffering of the virus, the economic impact, the inability to go to houses of worship, churches, mosques, synagogues, temples. But I think related to all that is sometimes people feeling isolated, alone, and the depression and the mental well-being. That's probably the most underreported part impact of the pandemic is how it's affected people's mental and well-being.
Yes, I believe it's the least talked about too, least discussed,
yeah.
And the least broadcast, depression, isolation.
Right.
There are a lot of people who live by themselves as elderly people. So the depression is real.
It is.
Depression is real. It's a real illness. But if you can get out of it without taking any medication, that's even better. If you can come out of it without medication, that's even better, much
right.
better. So what basically, when you said economics, I've been watching TV and I've seen all the small businesses that are closing. Do you think these businesses might be able to open back up? Are they opening back up in your area? Are they able
those that have survived, yeah, those that have survived are beginning to open up slowly. Restaurants are beginning to open up more and more. Customers are beginning to come back more and more. So I teach at Spelman College, and Spelman College has offered online virtual classes up until the spring semester of this year. But in the fall fall of 2021, we're going to open it back up again and have in-person classes. So a lot of entities have been impacted. The restaurant industry, the airline industry, the transportation industry, the hospitality industry in terms of hotels. The small businesses have been impacted, so everybody really has been impacted. It's only been a few businesses that have really flourished, like, you know, Amazon and delivery services may have flourished, but for the most part, a lot of entities, business entities, big and small, have been impacted by the pandemic.
Yes, sir, that is true. That is true. That's everywhere, too. That's everywhere in America, just about.
Right. Right.
So you teach at Spelman College. I forgot to say that. What do you instruct on, sir?
I teach in the political science department and teach some wonderful, dynamic, smart Black women who want to be leaders in the world, of the world, in a few years. And so I teach in the political science department.
Oh, wonderful. Wonderful. My sister is a political science major. One of my sisters there. So, your legacy. What do you want people to remember about you? I saw the video on Mr. John Lewis on your Facebook page.
Mm-hmm.
Outstanding. Great loss. Great loss. Mr. John Lewis mm-hmm. has been. What do you want your legacy to be?
That's a good question.
What do you want people to remember about you living and deceased? I already know they're saying you're a great person, you're a great political leader. You did some great things. But what do you personally want to be remembered for, known for while you're alive?
I care. I really care a lot. I care about people. I want there to be justice and equality in this country. I want Black people to be able to have opportunities like everybody else. I want to address issues like racism in this country. So I think my legacy will be really maybe creating an opportunity, creating some sort of way for future leaders who are young to be trained on how to be leaders. So I think my legacy will not only be the type of life I've tried to live, but how I try to help others to be leaders and live good lives in our society and make positive change.
Positive change in good leaders. Okay. Yeah. That's your legacy. All right.
Yes.
So
okay.
The young people, do you enjoy working with the young people?
I love it. I love working
the younger
with young
people or older people. I mean, do you like to work with them?
I mean, I like people, and I believe in people, but I have a passion for college students. College students are transitioning from teenagers to adults, and they are young enough to be impressionable, but they're old enough to understand the responsibility that's going to be before them and after they finish college. I love working in the college environment, but I also recognize that everybody doesn't go to college. And so, you know, I think that anybody who is in their late teens, early 20s, who wants to be productive members of society, want to be responsible family members, want to be leaders, I like to help them. I like to try to train them. So I love working with college students, but it's not always exclusive to only to college students. I, I do like work with people who just haven't, who for whatever reason or another did not go to college.
Okay. All right. Do you have any charities that you currently participate in or anything besides education and working with college students that you are doing currently? I know you have the TV show. That's keeping you busy. I know you teach at Spelman and the college is opening back up. Oh, I meant to ask you, will they still have virtual classes at Spelman or is it completely open up to everyone to come back?
In the fall, it's going to be in person, so it'll be the traditional classes in the fall.
Okay.
But right now, it's online.
Okay. I know you graduated from Morehouse, but you teach at Spelman. That's the ladies' university.
Yeah, the female school, yeah.
Yes, sir. So I have to ask this.
Mm-hmm.
I just have to ask you this. Do you have any sons or daughters?
I do. Got two children. Very proud of them. I've worn many hats in my life, but the hat that I wear proudly is that of father. So got a son who graduated from Morehouse and a daughter, North Carolina A&T.
Okay. So what do you discuss with them about the police murders, the killings, the police not being held accountable? What do you discuss with them when they're away, when they're not there?
Yeah.
What do you talk to them
yeah.
about? I know they're adults probably, but what do you talk to them about?
So that's a really good question. Now, I want people to understand what I'm about to say. I don't necessarily like, I feel that it's unfair, burden is on black parents to tell their black boys and girls to behave a certain way when they interact with police. I really think that's unfair because white Americans don't have to do that.
I put my
emphasis on, okay, what can we do to change the criminal justice system, advocate for police reform. So I don't spend my time saying, son, don't do this and don't do that. I spend my time saying, let's try to do what we can to address issues in the criminal justice system that need to be changed. So the burden shouldn't necessarily be on black people. It's just because, we're the victims for the most part when this happens, when killings occur, a disproportionate number of black people are killed when they interact with law enforcement. So why should we have to be the ones to carry the burden? It should be police and elected officials that should be trying to come up with fair and unbiased, non-racial tactics. The burden should be on them, not on black people.
Do you believe the John Lewis Voting Act will pass with Mr. John Lewis, even though he's deceased? Do you believe it will pass or has passed? Do you think the Senate will approve it?
No. So it passed out of the House and now it's in the Senate. I do believe it's going to pass. The sticking point right now is something called the filibuster. So right now there has to be 60 votes in the Senate to approve it, and 60 votes are not there. You do have a simple majority. You have 50 plus one Democrats plus the vice president who can vote if it's a simple vote. So they're going to have to change the filibuster rule, and I think that at some point they're going to change it because John Lewis bill, voting bill, the George Floyd police reform bill, some of them won't pass unless it becomes voting in the Senate where 50 plus one can approve the legislation. Right now, you need to have 60, and there are not 10 Republicans who are supporting these legislations. So I think that
That's
it will
wonderful.
Pass.
That's wonderful. That's good news. That's great
yeah.
news. All right. So,
okay.
Ms. John Evans, thank you for coming on Show Talk with Angela Butler. And thank
you
for the
Angela
good news.
Thank you. Okay, thank you. It's
thank
always
you.
A pleasure talking to you and your listening audience. Okay.
Yes, sir.
All right, have a great day.
You too.
Okay. Okay, bye-bye.
All right. Everyone, you just got through listening to Mr. John Evans. Mr. John Evans is always a great interview. He's well-spoken and on top of his game. So I thank you for listening to Show Talk with Angela Butler. I hope you enjoyed the interview. I'm going to submit it for everyone to hear in about the next 30 minutes. Thank you for listening to Show Talk with Angela Butler.